Welcome back to HealthLink on Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, the field of bioethics is an ever-expanding one in this age of cloning, embryonic stem cell research, organ donation, and challenging end-of-life issues. And Upstate Medical University, with its Center for Bioethics and Humanities, is actively engaged in these robust and sometimes controversial areas of policymaking. Most recently, one of our own has won a prestigious award to teach and share his expertise on a more global level. Joining us this morning to tell us more about it is Dr. James Dwyer, Associate Professor in the Center for Bioethics and Humanities at Upstate Medical University. Dr. Dwyer also holds a faculty appointment in the Department of Public Health and Preventive Medicine and teaches ethics courses that deal with issues that arise in clinical practice, public health, and global health. He also works on the Ethics Consultation Service at University Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Dwyer.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, you've just been given quite an honor. You'll have to tell us about it.
Well, yes, I applied for and won a Fulbright Award. And it's a very old exchange program to let Americans go abroad and foreigners come to America. It was actually started right after the Second World War, with money from the U.S. government, but also money from foreign governments to foster exchange.
So to foster exchange in what areas, in what ways?
Well, it's open to all areas, but I'm going to be working on bioethics or ethical issues that come up in medicine and public health and health in general.
So these awards are fairly competitive, though.
Yes. It's open to everyone in the country, and there aren't that many, and I'm happy to have it. And it's a good opportunity, and the whole purpose is that I can learn more about what's going on in foreign countries, and people can learn what I'm up to.
I understand that there were 43 Fulbright alumni that have also won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes, I'm not thinking of that in my own case, but I'm honored to go.
And I also had looked up and found that 75 had received Pulitzers. So you're in very esteemed company, it sounds like to me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So where will you be going?
I'll be going to Taiwan, and I'll be working at National Taiwan University, and I'll be part of the medical center and the hospital there.
And for what period of time will you be
for
there?
A whole school year. So I'll be starting in September and going through June.
Have you ever been to Taiwan before?
Yes, I was there before. I did some research there, actually. About 8 years ago, there was a SARS epidemic, an outbreak of an infectious disease. And some of the ethical issues were similar from work I had done before. I had worked on ethical issues around HIV disease in New York. And there's issues about confidentiality and the duty to treat. And some of the issues with SARS were the same, but some were different. So I actually had a small grant to go over to Taiwan for a month and talk to healthcare workers there.
Wow, that must have been very interesting.
Yes, it was. And it was a difficult issue.
How long did you live there then?
It was only about a month.
I see. So other than the SARS epidemic, was there anything else that drew you to that part of the world?
Well, one thing, they have a universal healthcare system, and I'm very interested in that. I mean, before 1995, they had a huge number of people, maybe 40% of the people, had no insurance at all. And they responded to this change, and they started a kind of national healthcare insurance, which is a little like our Medicare program.
But for all.
Everyone, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been a success in many ways. And of course, there are problems that come with any new program. So that's one of the things that interests me so much, because I keep thinking about our own country and how ineffective we've been at responding to this kind of problem.
So that must be equally fascinating, and you'll have an opportunity, I will imagine, this year to really see it in action for a much longer time frame.
Yeah, not only will I get to talk to the healthcare professionals and patients, but I'll be a patient myself, because for the year I will get a card with electronic medical record and I will be in the system.
So what exactly will you be doing there? I mean, and from your standpoint, the purpose, you had to apply for this, so you had something in mind in terms of what you were hoping to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, I'll be teaching, but in the medical center that takes different forms. So one of my jobs will be working with their ethics consultation service. As you mentioned, that is, at our hospital here, we have an ethics consultation service. So any doctor, nurse, patient, family can call this service if they have an ethical issue.
Can you give us some examples of what some of those might be?
Yeah, well, suppose there's a man who's very ill, perhaps dying, and he's no longer able to make decisions for himself. So the doctors turn to the family, but his children disagree on whether an aggressive course would be better or more palliative care. So that's a conflict, and they might call an ethics consultation on that.
Mm-hmm. So you then get involved directly in that kind of mediation or discussion? Or?
Yeah, it's discussion, it's mediation. We're trying to clarify the issues. Now, we're not a court of law. We don't judge it, but we do sometimes make recommendations. Now, we've been doing this for years and have quite a bit of experience, but Taiwan is just starting this system. So I'll be working and helping the people who are doing ethics consults in Taiwan.
But you mentioned teaching. So how does that, I mean, will you actually be working with students, with medical students?
Well, yeah. On the ethics consultation, it will be teaching or working with staff. But I'll be working with medical residents and medical students. For example, I'll be meeting with the medical residents in pediatrics, and they'll be bringing up ethical issues they face, and we'll be discussing and clarifying them. So, for example, in pediatrics, they always face the issue of a child's very sick, and often the doctors want to explain the illness to the child, and sometimes the parents are reluctant to tell the truth to the child. So we'll be discussing issues like that.
What I'm most curious about in this context is taking some of the cultural imperatives and cultural mandates that we experience here in America and in the States and clearly inform our ethics considerations and moving them to a different context and how that, I mean, you've had some experience in the culture before. What do you imagine some of the issues will be?
Well, I think you've put your finger on a key issue. That is, we're informed and influenced by our culture and our upbringing, and people who've grown up in very different circumstances have different outlooks. So I'm going with a very open mind that they're going to identify slightly different problems, they're going to analyze them differently. So we're hoping there's enough common ground for a dialogue, but enough difference to make it interesting.
But in your experience in the past with SARS, and clearly there were issues, as you mentioned, ethical issues, privacy issues, all of that, did you notice things that were particularly noteworthy in terms of the differences?
Well, I did notice some differences. More emphasis on family there, more of a family ethic. I mean, one of the things we've often discussed with healthcare workers, their risk of becoming infected, and how that could spread to family. And in America, I often thought of how you could possibly infect a spouse or your child. But it didn't occur to me that so many healthcare workers would be living at home with their parents. And that was the case in Taiwan. So we see more multi-generational families living together.
I would think that would be a huge difference.
Yeah.
In terms of the construct of how the how the communities function.
Yeah.
Both microcosmically in terms of the family, but then on a larger scale. How about religion or the notion of respect for the individual versus the group? I mean, one of the things I have heard many times about Asian cultures is there's much more of a group emphasis than perhaps, you know, a individualistic kind of approach. Do you see that happening?
Yeah. Well, in terms of religion, I think it's equally important as Taiwan here. And in Taiwan, it's very pluralistic, too. I mean, there's Buddhists, there's Taoists, and there's a substantial Christian population, and then there's those who don't identify with any religion. But I think the sense of community or the sense of obligation to family is stronger. Mm-hmm. And that makes some difference. And I think there's respect for individuals, but a little less emphasis on the individual. And I think that'll come up in public health issues.
I would imagine. And also this notion of respecting the aging population. I mean, again, these are very these are superficial understandings on my part, but I always had the impression that in Asian cultures there's more respect for the elderly.
Well, there's certainly an emphasis on that. But they're struggling with the kind of issues we are, where people have careers and they live in different places and they want to care for their elderly parents. And yeah, no one has perfect or good solutions to that. So
right.
The point is to see, well, how does a different culture and country deal with some of these issues that we're all facing?
Do you, what do you hope to learn yourself? I mean, in terms of your future work, I mean, will you be doing research? Or basically, you'll be doing more of the teaching and
I'll be teaching, but I'll be writing up some things and reflecting. I guess I hope to learn a little more about ethics education. That is, that how we really instill habits and get people to develop a sort of willingness to intervene and make changes to improve the system. Mm-hmm. And we've struggled with that here, and I'm eager to see sort of what can be done in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And then I'm interested in some larger issues about public health.
What?
An example is childhood obesity. Of course, we know it's a huge problem in America, but what's happening is the rate of childhood obesity is going up in many Asian countries.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. I think they're going through changes like we did. Traditional diets changing, there's less walking and bicycling, and there's more fast food available. And so they're seeing increased rates of diabetes. And of course, it's a public health problem, but it's also an ethical problem. Well, who's responsible and where should we assign responsibility? And of course, here we focus a lot of responsibility on the individual to control his or her diet. And that's important, but there's also responsibility at the level of the family, the school, the design of cities, the corporations that advertise on television. So I'm interested to see how Taiwan's willing to respond to this new and growing problem.
It'll be interesting to hear when you return whether it sounds to me like some of what's happened is there's been a westernization that actually has brought with it some problems and some difficulties. Clearly, the fast food notion was nothing they experienced before.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, in a sense, infecting these cultures with some of our problems.
Well, I think that's well said. There's been a globalization, and along with that, they've gotten many good ideas and new things, but they've also got some of our problems, like, childhood obesity. They now have also some undocumented workers or illegal immigrants, and there's questions about health care for them. So as I said to, I met one time a deputy minister of health there, and I said to him, congratulations, you now have all the problems of a rich, wealthy, industrialized country.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. James Dwyer, associate professor in the Center for Bioethics and Humanities at Upstate Medical University and Fulbright Scholar, thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us. I'm really excited about what you'll be experiencing, and I hope when you come back, you'll be willing to come back on air and share some of your learnings and your experiences and all of what you found there. I'm sure it'll inform your work here at Upstate very, very much as well going forward.
Well, thank you. When I come back, I'd like to be on the air again.
We will have you for sure. Well, we have to take a short break, but we'll be right back, so please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.